This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I was a kid, you know, and like teenager style, Chris Webber, Fab Five, you can't even comprehend how big they were. Like, I know Zion was a big deal. They were not the Fab Five. The Fab Five was its own phenom of celebrity. And we drafted Chris Webber.
Yeah.
Okay.
And was considered the best player of that bunch.
Instantly. And was notorious for calling a timeout when he didn't have any.
Correct.
All right. So he was infamous as well. And was a stud and immediately came to the Warriors. And I know the Mitch Richmond trade for a lot of people gutted people, but this is like, you got Chris Webber, you go to the playoffs and you lose to the Phoenix Suns. It's like, we've got a 10-year runway with this guy. And then him and Don Nelson like get into this big spat over playing the four versus playing the five. And you trade him away for Ronnie Cicely.
Mm. Brutal.
Ronnie Cicely, and it just set off a chain reaction of horrific deals. You know, Ronnie Cicely for Donyell Marshall, and you trade away Tim Hardaway for Bimbo Coles. I mean, it's just so many horrible moves. And obviously, Sprewell chokes out the coach. I mean, it's just like it was a chain reaction of awful. And then another one that was pretty close to this, and again, these are all lumped into the Depression era because it's one after another. And any one of them would have broke any individual fan base. This is how damn bad we're. You drafted Vince Carter, and you traded him for Antoine Jameson. Mm. And I like Jameson. Like I grew to really appreciate him, but he wasn't Vince Carter. I mean, Vince Carter, come on.
I know.
We drafted Todd Fuller instead of Kobe Bryant, for Christ's sake. You took Joe Smith instead of Antonio McDice. Like, I could just go on and on and on and on. And those ones all, like, simultaneously that decade broke me. We lost Gilbert Arenas for some loophole in the rules? What? Hibachi was cooking for us, dude. He was so sick. Agent Zero?
Yeah, no. Like, now he's cooking podcasts.
Well, he doesn't shut up. I mean, it takes one to know one. You know what I mean? But, like, all of those trades, like, it's just any one of them could have broken. And I'll be the first to admit it. I will raise my hand. The Monte Ellis trade was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Obviously, Baron Davis opting out and then basically saying, like, we'll take Corey Maggette. It's just like, what?
Well, that's in all this. It doesn't have to be a trade. Like, because the Luka, that was a trade. And it was just like, Anthony Davis, what? Like, you're putting a timeline 3 years from now. You're saying Luka's out of shape. He doesn't get along with people, but you're bringing in a guy that's notoriously injured all the time, who's not entering the prime of his career, Anthony Davis, who's in his early 30s. So it doesn't have to be just a trade. It could be a move. It could be letting a player go. It could be anything, right? Like, if you're a Raider fan, the Khalil Mack trade, you bring in John Gruden, you think, oh, great. You know, we were just in the playoffs. We had a down year, but we got John Gruden back. You know, it was Chucky. Great. Awesome. He gave this $100 million. And then his first move is to get rid of your best player. And then that kind of was the writing on the wall for a lot of fans being like, are you serious right now? So not only are we going to be like, I was using another word, I caught myself. Not only going to be crappy, we're going to be awful. We're in three games. We don't have our best player. You come off as cheap. You get two picks that you whiff on because you're horrible at drafting. You could never have been lower. You already have the writing on the wall that you're moving to Las Vegas on top of that. So there was so much baked into that just alone. It felt symbolic of where the franchise was headed. And great, you netted Max Crosby, and now Max Crosby, I guess he's tied with Pete Carroll now. So
no, you've been walking in the desert.
Correct. You had one playoff run with an interim head coach, and great. That was it. That was your high water mark.
I think where you're getting at is like the totality of all those moves have gotten you to where you are now.
Right. Similar with the A's, right? When you traded Yoenis Cespedes, when all those moves that capitulated after that, and you go into this downward spiral, you bring in, you know, John Lester, Jason Hamill, Samardzija, all those guys.
Jason Hamill.
Right? And he was horrible in the play. And he was the guy that gave the game losing run in the play-in, the play-ins game. But you know what I'm calling the wild card game, which was basically a play-in game then. Yeah. So there was all of that. I'm sure there's many other moves in 49ers lore or, you know, the Giants. What moves didn't they make? They met Carlos Beltran. Wasn't a great move. But you know what? At least they were going for it. I'm not going to use that one. But when did you feel lowest as a fan base is what I'm getting at.
I think for, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think for Warrior fans, like you had Weber, you had, you know, Mullen, you had Hardaway, you had Sprewell, you had traded away Mitch Richmond. So you had Billy Owens at the time. That decade of all of those horrific moves, trading away Jason Richardson for the rights to Brandon Wright, like all those bad moves, Baron Davis opting out, that led us to the night of Mullen's retirement and of Joe Lacob on the floor and that Monte Ellis trade. And I know the Monte trade in a vacuum is at the time was perceived as a bad trade. To me, the vitriol of the booing of where the fan base was the two decades of crap leading up to that. It was everything leading up to that one moment. And it was just the final straw that broke the camel's back. I think about the Niners and I'll be the first to admit it. They moved out of the city. They alienated Harbaugh. They destroyed the team around Colin Kaepernick. He didn't get better. 2014, when Jed hugged Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines, because of just everything, the totality of all of that stuff, missing out on the Super Bowl, losing to the Seahawks the way that we did, and them winning one immediately, that was like the twisting of the knife for me as a Niner fan. And then you hired Jim Tomsula, I admit, I will raise my hand. I rooted against them.
Yeah.
Hard. I hated them at that time. Hated them.
There's another one I completely forgot, but it dominated our airwaves here at 95.7. I know you and Covey talked about it ad nauseum. Everyone did because it was just so insane. But after the Raiders already traded Khalil Mack, they won three games that season, and then they were going to be on Hard Knocks. They drafted Cleve Furl. It's like, oh my God, this is going to be awful.
Cleve.
And then they signed they traded for Antonio Brown. And then of that
he
took
froze
place.
His feet off.
Frozen feet.
It's just the most
this
insane.
This is pre-CTE ESPN, by the way, if you follow Antonio Brown on Twitter or whatever. X,
how much money is his Twitter account making?
Oh my God.
It is wow.
Insane. This guy is falling. The guy
I will admit,
took off his
I've
jersey.
Laughed at a bunch of different tweets that he's put out.
Of course you have.
They're bad.
They're bad.
They're really bad.
So were the Raiders after that. They're
kind
down
of sugarcoating those tweets too.
Right? Like as a fan, after that whole thing went down, you got to be feeling like, oh my God, this just, it can't get more embarrassing. It can't get more embarrassing and less angry, just more embarrassed. But anger is a part of it. Like Mavs fans are angry right now. Jana Mountain View, when were you last angry as a fan? What's up, Jan? You're on Spadoni and Chasky.
Yes, good morning. I'll never forget the night that they were retiring Chris Mullin's jersey. And yes, Joe Lacob got booed on the floor because he had traded away Monte Ellis, and I was brokenhearted, and I thought, oh, God. And then I'm thinking if they didn't make this trade for Jimmy Butler, what would have happened when he shows in the arena when they come back home? That's what I'd like to know.
It's a great question. You know,
thanks, Jim.
I'm telling you, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Lacob had announced that they were going to probably try to move the team to San Francisco. And then it was all of the decades of futility. And then you traded away a fan favorite for a guy that had microfracture surgery at the time. It was such a bad optics. Like, it wasn't just the Monte trade. I will go down on my deathbed. It was everything. It was everything all at once.
Coming up almost a month away from the 13-year anniversary of that, March 19th, 2012. God, time flies.
People were pissed, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I was livid at that time of that trade. I'm sorry to kind of jump in here, but I'm with you right there, Chasky. I always remember Bill Simmons wrote
the greatest article he ever wrote.
For years, I read that piece at the beginning of every Warrior season because I felt like you have to, like, what made the championships later on so great was knowing the pain that we had to go through to get there. Like you said, it was 2 decades of frustration. Like it was 40 years of frustration. I mean, for me, it was a little bit shorter, but like to me at the time, like Monte Ellis was what I thought. I thought Monte was going to be the best warrior I would ever see in my life. Like that's how I viewed it at the time. Like the concept of having the greatest shooter of all time, the concept of finals runs was not in anywhere near on my radar as a Warrior fan. It was Monte Ellis will be the best thing you ever see as a Warrior fan. And that was just taken away. And that,
did you enjoy it? How old were you for We Believe?
I was in eighth grade, so I was 13, 14 years old.
So you had no concept.
That was my team. That was my Warriors team.
Yeah, so we had big wash parties. I was in my early 20s, and the whole crew, this is back in the day where you'd get around the big tube TV.
Yeah.
And we'd have, like, there were so many dudes in the room. You had bleachers, meaning people standing, SRL in the living room.
That was back when the flat screen was like, whoa, plasma. Nobody
had flat screens. Wow. Like, we had the big tube at the back. Like, you had to have, like, a 6-foot barrier to get the TV in there. It was to even describe what we saw, that team was so good. Then the next year they were better. And down the stretch that Barron got, I don't know, he had a party. Don Nelson like benched him down the stretch because he was hungover or something. I forget what the details were. I'm sure Steiny's listening to me right now.
Yeah.
Stack Jack got an extension. They gave him an extension. Barron left in the offseason. He goes to the Clippers. And then we bring in Corey Maggette. Stack Jack demands an extension and then immediately wants out. It was just like the carpet was completely pulled out from underneath you.
Right.
And you had to pay Monte and you had to pay Biedrins and then you pay Monte and then Monte gets on the moped injury. Like the moped thing, we don't even talk about.
The moped.
He broke his leg on a moped.
What's up with
the Mississippi Missile?
Him and Bumgarner, man, they're probably homies. Probably hitting up the dirt bike.
Bumgarner ruined that season. No one wants to talk about that. He was dirt bike riding or whatever the hell he was doing, ATV.
No, he was dirt biking.
He destroyed that season.
He did. He did. What was it? What was his Mason Saunders? Not Mason Saunders. That's an actual player.
Mason Saunders.
No, Mason Saunders. That was
it was. I forget.
Sam knows that he's screening calls right now, but his fake alias was hilarious always to me. Marvin in San Francisco has one, Joe Shasky.
Give it to
the
me.
Last time you felt like a Dallas Mavericks fan feels right now is when? 888-957-9570. What's up, Marvin? You're on Spadoni and Shasky.
Well, my favorite Warrior of all time was Nate Thurman, and when they traded him for very little, I guess they got Clifford Ray, and then they went on to win the championship because they changed basketball by considering the center position a combination of players instead of just one guy. So we had shot blocker in George Johnson, and then we had Clifford Ray, who got every rebound, every loose ball. So that was when I felt bad. But as far as a sports fan, man, it's when Pedro Feliz dropped the fly in right field. I needed therapy after that.
That was Jose Cruz Jr.
Jose Cruz, that was the ultimate. I walked home, and it was 10 miles to get home.
Oh, my God. Jose Cruz Jr. and then JT Snow getting thrown out at home. I mean, to this day, I remember listening to that on the radio, working at a job site with my dad, plumbing, and he had the transistor radio, and it's, and base hit to left, and here comes, and Conine had the worst arm of anyone ever. Was it Jeffrey Hammond was also a part of that play? Was it Jeffrey Hammond that got the base hit?
We'll get the staff on it.
All right. JT getting thrown out at home by a roided up, you know, Yvonne Rodriguez, who doesn't move, and he's like,
when he stares at the ball and is just like losing his mind over it. Like,
was it Jeffrey Hammond that got the hit?
I think it was Hammond. Yeah. And it was,
Well, I'm going back.
That still hurts me.
I didn't even think about it in that respect, but there are some times when a play itself incites so much anger for a fan base that it lingers forever. Like, there's
the Jeter play. Have you guys ever gotten over the Jeter play?
No. I was going to go even a worse one. There was a whole documentary about it, but no. Well, first and foremost, Jeremy Giambi was safe if they had instant replay back then.
But that play
was synonymous with, are you freaking kidding me? like everything that was baked into it, there's no chance there. And then it happens. They just couldn't get out of the first round. It feels like the A's could never get out of the first round. Still, they're still waiting to do that. Now in Sacramento, and we'll see there with, Butler and Rooker and all those people. But the Steve Bartman incident, the amount of anger and vitriol and hatred, I was rooting against the Cubs when they were going up against Cleveland because I thought back to that. I don't care that they suffered for that long. I saw their true colors as a fan base that day, attacking a guy like that, some innocent bystander. And when Moises Alou went after the game to go after him too, to incite that much anger, the guy had to.
It was dusty, and the shortstop made an error.
Death threats.
I know.
Forever.
Well, let's. He was an easy target, unfortunately.
Why? Because he had glasses. No, and he was just like,
you know, the poor guy wasn't paying attention to the whole scene.
But
that was not.
He was
why
listening
they
on the radio. I know. Like, come on, like.
No, the whole thing was Shakespeare.
Catching hell. It was one of the greatest 30 for 30s ever. I
think
about
that. For the guy,
right?
Well, I always think of Bill Buckner. Like Bill Buckner is
Vallejo's own.
The
R.I.P.
poor guy just that was Game Six.
Yep. That's why I'm not as like same with the Steve Bartman incident. Hey, like. You had a 3-0 lead. That didn't cause everything. How about you get a grounder the next play, right? When you had an opportunity to do it. Like, talk about fighting through adversity. That showed me who that team's true colors was and that fan base heading into it. They eventually, 13 years later, they got their World Series. Congratulations. But I was feeling for Steve Bartman. I was feeling some type of way about that, too.
There's, some Giants moments that I think of, like, seminal in my childhood. When they traded away Matt Williams, people were devastated.
Yeah.
Devastated. It ended up being one of the greatest trades in Giants history, getting Jeff Kent, obviously.
Yep.
But people were devastated. Matt Williams was beloved. And it's funny because he came up and people didn't like him originally because he struck out a lot.
Right.